So if you would this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll go through this morning in chapter 24, if you would. We'll try and run through here. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is alive. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. He's told them these things. He's delivered the message to them over and over. And it's amazing they're standing right in front of the proof of it and still didn't believe it. How can these things be? And sometimes those things of Scripture amaze us. Sometimes they confound us. Sometimes they cause us to ponder. But God's ways aren't always our ways. And he always has the answer. He always has the way, and he doesn't always have to tell us what the answer is, which kind of confounds us, because I know some of you are engineers, and engineers have to know. And I'm sorry for you. I'm not an engineer. I don't have to know. I just trust what he says is true, because so much else has gone on to prove that he's real and true. Over 300 prophecies about his first coming, and every single one of them came true. And he has over 300 prophecies of a second coming. Do you believe that he's coming again? He is coming again. He's going to come and get the church. He's going to come again and step down on planet Earth after the seven-year tribulation period and restore to the earth the way that it should be. Oh, can you imagine a world where we don't name days in the wrong way? And even for us, this isn't Easter, because Easter was a pagan holiday. So not to confuse anybody or not to offend anybody, happy Resurrection Day, because it's Resurrection Day. It's not a pagan holiday. It's a Christian holiday. It's a day that the Lord had set aside. He knew that day was coming, and that's why he came. And we sometimes wonder, why are we here? And he has a plan for each and every one of us. He's going to use so many things in your lives to show you that he's real and true. He's going to show you so many things in the way that he works in this world to prove that he exists and that you can trust him. So the angels were there sitting on the tomb, just showing them that he wasn't there. He's risen. Remember how he told you in verse 7, he says, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They remembered. Just like we're going to remember in communion, his body and blood, his body being broken, his blood being poured out for us to cover our sin, to bring salvation to our hearts, to bring salvation to our lives, to save us, like the girl sang, to save us from ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I know I need to be saved from myself. And if you say no, then you're lying. So you really need to get saved from yourself, because we do. We're in that place. We need salvation every single day. And we can't get ourselves to heaven. If it isn't his power raising us, we're not going. It's only by his power. It's only by his might and by his spirit. And it's the Lord that does it, our Lord. And we know him. And so it says in verse 9 that they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Here's the apostles, the great men of God, the mighty and greaty thinkers, and the women come and tell them, and they don't believe them. Can you imagine? And you think you got it bad. The representatives of the church, the New Testament church, and these guys didn't believe that Jesus has risen again, even though he told them over and over throughout their walk with him, throughout the 3.5 years that they were with him, that he was going to do it, and they didn't believe him. It's almost laughable. It's amazing. They're men just like you and I. Because how many times does God tell us things, and yet we don't believe him? He tells us he's never going to leave us or forsake us, and what's the first thing we do when we run into trouble? Lord, where are you? I'm right here with you. We do the same exact things. We can't laugh at the apostles without laughing at ourselves. And just realizing that we need Jesus to believe anything and everything that he said. If it isn't for Jesus helping you to believe, then we're not believing and we're not trusting. And how can we believe only part of the scriptures without believing all of the scriptures? And yet it confounds me. Barner Research came up with questions for people in churches, for pastors in churches, and over half didn't believe that Jesus really rose again. How can you be a pastor and not believe the truth of Jesus and yet stand in front of people and tell them and read to them these scriptures without believing it in your own heart? Pray for them and pray for ourselves too, that we could believe and trust. We certainly need them in these days. We're at a crossroads in history that is so exciting and yet so dangerous. And we see these things going on and we know more and more is coming. And it's exciting, but boy, is it dangerous. But we need our hearts settled on the truth of God's word, because if we're not settled on God's word, then we're going to be in fear the whole time that these things go on. And hopefully we can get to a place as a church body, as individuals, where we can believe these things without being in fear of them, that we can trust the Lord. We've been going through the prophecy series on Wednesday nights of the need for globalism, for a global leader in it. And it just frightens us and we go, okay, but not right now for us. But we're in these times where it could happen any moment. But I'm thankful I won't be here to find out who it is. If you're born again, you don't know the Antichrist. You need to know Jesus Christ, because he's the one you're going to meet. You're going to see him as he is. And when you see him, you're going to see the marks that are still there in his body, the holes in his hand, the hole in his side. They're still going to be visible to remind us of what he's done for us, not to hold it over us. But can you imagine those arms with those holes that were there embracing you as you come before him? Lord, I did that to you because it was my sin. We have to take it personally, because it is my sin that held Jesus on the cross. It's my sin that kept him there. But it's his power, his might, that now frees us from that. So many Christians are under condemnation and don't have to be. The scripture tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. They're condemned by the enemy because of their past, because of the things that are going on, and they think they're at fault. And God has forgiven us. If we trust him, if we're born again of his spirit, we can have that forgiveness that only God can bring. Buddha can't forgive you. None of the other religions can come and bring you forgiveness. Only Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that endured the cross and paid the price. And he's the only one that is still alive. And that same power that rose Jesus from the dead is going to raise us one day as believers in him, to be with him and sit with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's going to come around and serve us at the supper. The one who paid the price for us, the one who died for us, is the one who's going to serve us. And he's going to sing over you. Oh, so sweet the birds hush their singing, as the old hymn would say. Yes, sweetness. So here's the apostles not believing. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre. It shows how much he didn't believe, but how much he wanted to know for sure, because he got up and ran. It's amazing. One of the other gospels says that Peter and John ran, and John outran them. But Peter, probably because he couldn't stop, busted through the tomb and ran into the tomb. John stopped outside. Peter probably had momentum going and couldn't stop and just boof. Maybe he fell in, who knows. He ran down into the sepulchre and, stooping down to behold the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. wondering within himself, what has come to pass? And you and I as believers have to sit there and do the same thing. What has come to pass? Lord, we see that you've risen from the dead. Do we trust you in it? Do we believe that it's true? He goes on in verse 13, and it says, "And behold, two of them that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, or about 6 to 7 miles, and they talked together of all those things which had happened." So they're talking about the things of the Lord, but listen to what they're saying. "And it came to pass as they communed together and reasoned together that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." They're talking about the things that have been going on. They're wondering about the things that were going on, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They were shut to the realization of who he was. After all, he was risen, and they didn't expect him to be there. How many times are we walking through life, and the Lord wants to meet with us, and we don't even know he's there, and we're communing, we're talking, we're thinking of other things, and the Lord is with us, ministering to us all the way through, and we don't even realize he's there. Lord, I need strength today. I know, that's why I'm here with you. Lord, I need truth today. I am truth. I'm here with you. And they're reasoning with themselves, and they don't even know he's there. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and you're sad? Why are you sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things that are come to pass in these days?" And so he starts telling Jesus what happened to Jesus. Oh, really? I went through that? I didn't know that. And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, he knows what things, right? But he wants them to talk it through. He wants them to be in that place of knowing what's going on in their own hearts. Because remember, they're reasoning in themselves. They're thinking about these things, and they can't put it together. Have you ever been there? You've got a hold of a scripture, and the Lord is speaking to you, and you don't understand it, and you can't get it together, and you can't realize, why am I doing these things? Why is this real? Why do I believe what I believe? Or do I believe what I say I believe? Am I in that place of believing so that I can convince somebody else or talk with somebody else about what I believe? Oh, Lord. And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet." He was a little more than a prophet. But they were looking at him. They weren't sure of all that Jesus was to them. And aren't we there sometimes? We know that Jesus is real. But do we know all of his power? Do we know everything about him? Have you been so great in the scriptures and so great in your communion with the Holy Spirit that you know everything about Jesus? And if you don't, you need to keep reading, you need to keep praying, you need to keep seeking. We'll never know everything about him, but we can certainly know more than we do now. We can certainly have a closer walk with him than we do now. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, this is what we trusted, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, this is the third day since these things were done. And yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. The things have been told them, and they're walking along the road, and where are they? They're going away from Jerusalem, the place where Jesus is risen from the dead. They're walking away from it because they couldn't trust it. They didn't believe it. We look at the apostles and see they didn't believe it, so why should these guys believe it? Amazing. But it just shows us, and for me, it's just wonderful because I don't feel so alone and not always trusting what I know about Scripture. Is it real to me in the circumstance that I'm in? Because sometimes the Lord brings us into circumstances and we just have trouble identifying Jesus in the midst of that circumstance. Lord, I feel so alone. I feel so lost in my thoughts because of what has gone on. But those are the places that we can meet Jesus in the midst. and know that he's real and true. There are some circumstances we just don't want to be in, but as he brings us to those, we see him in a whole different way because he's real in every situation that we come into. And God uses those circumstances to show us that he can be our comfort, that he can be our strength, that he can be our hope, that he can be the one that can get us through to the next day. Because sometimes we feel like we can't even make it through this one. I look back and I see these four boys. My mom had three and we drove her crazy. I can't imagine what four are doing. And mom knows there are some days I just don't want to be here. There are some days there's going to be four boys for sale. And we're going to put them somewhere. Amazing, isn't it, that he uses all the circumstances of life that we're in, because not all of us had boys. I had four girls. I can tell you, boys are easier. Girls have way too much drama, I hate to tell you. And four teenage girls is a whole lot of drama. But you meet Jesus in the midst. I'll get you through this. I'll get you through to the next day. I'll get you through to tomorrow. And some of you are going through super hard things, and we know it. And just because Jesus is here doesn't mean that the circumstance is going to get easier. But what it means is he's going to be your strength to help you through. And he's the only one that can do it. I can talk about it, but I can't give it to you. You can read it, but reading the words on a page isn't going to give it to you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through those words into your life that's going to bring it to you. That's why it's individualistic. That's why every individual has to go through it. The boys can't get their faith from their parents. They have to get their faith from the Lord Jesus because he's the only one that can bring that faith to us. And then he tries our faith. Because if you have a faith in Christ that can't be tested, then it's not a real faith. It has to be real. It's going to be real. And as it's tested and tried, you're going to realize more and more that it's real just for you. I can believe it because he's met with me, the risen Christ, the one and the only. And I'm just so thankful that he's risen. So thankful that he's alive. Oh, can I prove it? Nope. But I can give you his word. And he proves it to me. I can tell you that the Holy Spirit has met with us and ministered to us the truth of that. Because he tells us in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to us and bring us into all truth. And the truth of his word is what he brings to us. The truth that he's risen again and he's alive. And all of us have to know that. We're going to come about to it in different ways, but it's the same Lord that we're looking at. We all have different lives that we live, all have different ways that we go through this life, but he meets each and every one of us. The same Jesus, this same Jesus, is risen from the dead. Oh. And the poor world, all that they could do is make up stories on what happened. Do you realize those same stories are going to go on when the church gets raptured? The aliens came and took them. Really? And what did those aliens look like? I don't know, but I know they came and took them. We'll say anything so that we don't have to believe the truth. But it's the truth that sets us free. And we want to be free in Christ this morning. They're going through all of this. Jesus is with them. He's ministering to them. He's speaking to their hearts, to their lives. He's listening to them talk and know that they're saying all the things that that were on their hearts that they needed to have. It tells us this in Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life." There's life in it. When the truth comes to you and it makes itself real in your hearts and your lives, then there's life in it. There's strength in it. There's hope in it. In this poor world that has no hope outside of what this world is. Folks, for you as believers, this is the worst it's ever going to get. And it's bad. There's death. There's cancer. There's tears. There's pain. There's despair. There's disease. Like Joe Foch said the other night, there's dentists. Every one of you loves to go to the dentist. But with him and in him, when we go to see him, there'll be none of that. For us as believers, this is the worst it's going to get. For those that don't believe in Jesus Christ, this is the best that it's going to get. Isn't that awful? That is terrible news. That's why the gospel, it says, is good news. Because there's a hope that goes beyond this. And the hope is Jesus. In verse 25, it says, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken." He looks at them and he tells them that the scriptures need to be expounded upon, that the scriptures are the ones that bring truth, that Christ is the best teacher, that there's a method in his teaching. There's a method in the way that he brings about things in our lives. And each and every one of us are going through things, but they always bring us the same answer, that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way through this to get to an answer that we need to have in our life. Lord, why am I here? Lord, why am I in this household? Why can't I be somewhere else? Why can't I be in a different country? Because right now he has us here. I don't know about you, but the other countries aren't any better than this one. And things are getting better. You could be in Haiti, shut up in your own home because of the gangs that are killing everyone involved. You could be in Iran, where just mentioning the name of Jesus can get you thrown in jail. You could be in Nicaragua. That's a bird. Old Testament word. You could be there where 15 pastors are now in jail for 12 to 15 years apiece and fined $80 million apiece for having a revival. Or you could be in America where they take a resurrection day and turn it into something ugly. Isn't it amazing that the enemy will always bring a counterfeit to that which is good? And we know that it's not good, but we know God is good. And he's good all the time. And so we trust him. And he looks at these two guys that are walking away. We only know the name of one. His name is Cleopas. Some say that the other was Peter. But we're going to see that they met with him before. And they're going back and he's going to be there. So I really don't believe that. Could be Luke, some believe. But my Bible doesn't tell me. So for right now, he's unknown. But Cleopas is the only one that's named. You're slow of heart. Did you ever feel like that?
Yes.
Then you're in good company, because isn't it true that sometimes we're slow of heart to believe what Jesus says to us? We're slow of heart to obey. We're slow of heart to respond to the Lord. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It just means we're having one of those days where we're slow of heart. But he's come to what? You dumb fools, what's the matter with you? No, he encourages. He strengthens. He gives them vision and wisdom for what's going on so that they can have it. At least they're talking about it. At least it's out in the open. And the Lord is so gracious to meet with them. Don't you think he had better things to do? I got 11 apostles that don't even believe I rose from the dead. What am I doing with you two? I got to convince them first so the whole church will believe. Jesus can take care of all of them. There's not one person who really is seeking after the Lord that the Lord is not going to meet and show himself to and reveal himself to and give him truth. You don't have to go through somebody else to get to Jesus because he's so busy. Sorry, his hotline's busy. Call back in 3 days. That's Sears. That's your doctor's office. Yeah. We got an appointment for you. It's in 2025. If you'd like to come in. Well, I'm having this emergency. Oh, sorry, we're busy. He's not busy. He's waiting to meet you. And he wants to meet with you. These two were looking for him, and he appears to them and ministers to them. And he says, I'm here for you. Tell me what you really are, and I'll show you who I really am. You're slow in heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. All the prophets had spoken these things. All the prophets had given these things. In 1 Peter 1, verse 11, it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desired to look into. The angels desire to look into the things that God reveals to you and I. Can you imagine? The angels who chose and made their decision to stay with Christ are looking at you and I and seeing the glory of God, and they're just amazed by what's happening in your life. That God would take this much time, this much joy to meet with you and to bless you and to redeem you. God has a great plan for each and every one of us, and he wants to meet with us. And he says in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And we don't understand that. Lord, why would, and isn't that one of the objections to Christianity, is that why would God have to kill himself to save us? Why couldn't he come up with another plan? Because there was no other plan. There was only plan A. He didn't have a backup plan. He didn't need a backup plan. He's God. We have backup plans to back up our backup plans. He has nothing. That's why you have generators, in case your power goes out, so you can have other power. And then you have a backup generator in case that generator dies. Look at how much stuff you have just to keep moving when God can give you everything all at once. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things that concerning himself. So he started through at the beginning. And isn't it wonderful that no matter if you're in Genesis all the way to Revelation, no matter what book you're in, you can see the plan of God, the victory of our Lord, the joy of Jesus, the joy of knowing him and walking with him all the way through Scripture. There's a golden thread that goes all the way through, and we get to enjoy it. And we get to read about it. And you think, what a boring thing Christianity is. I don't know about you, but I don't read anything in Scripture that's boring. You look at this stuff, just think if you were living at any one of those times, how boring would it be? Amazing that it wouldn't be boring at all. It would be overwhelming. But we have one that's not overwhelmed with it, because he brought it all together and he's going to bring it all to pass. This world is not always going to be here. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, that is permanent forever. It's eternal. And we're going to be with him forevermore. And I'm so thankful. You guys are a blessing. You showed up. It's wonderful that we are able to do this together. And to just be in this place together and have the same heart, the same mind. And we know that if we were in the world, we would hate each other probably. I'd be divorced. I might still be. Pray for me. I really need help. Oh, boy. Back to Scripture. Help, Lord. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the Scriptures all things concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village where they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what's going on. And he knows what these two guys need. But he is not going to force himself on anybody that doesn't want him. And that includes you and I. Because these two guys are believers, right? But he wasn't going to force himself on them to say, well, I need to do it a little bit further. Don't you and I do that? We get in an argument with somebody and we turn around and we go, well, one more thing. And we turn around, well, one more thing. And we come up with 21 more things that we have to say. He wasn't going to force himself on them. He just wanted them to decide what they needed and when they needed it. He's not going to force himself on you. If you're looking for comfort and he says, here I am, and you say, well, maybe not right now, he isn't going to force himself and say, well, I'm going to bring it to you now anyway. He's going to wait till you're ready. But wouldn't it be greater to be ready now than days from now? We could have avoided a lot of stuff if we just given in to Christ early. Oh, but they constrained him in verse 29, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. The day's almost over with, so stay with us. Look at their reasoning. They don't say, well, we want to hear more. They're saying, well, the day's almost over with. What are they doing? They're looking with their eyes of sight rather than their eyes of faith. And yet Jesus is still going to minister to them in the midst. That is just so sweet of our Lord to do. And so he goes in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as they sat at meat with them that he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. You wonder, did he multiply it while he's doing it? You wanted a piece of bread? How about some pizza? And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. What it takes sometimes are the simplest things for you and I to realize, this is what he meant. This is what he was been trying to tell me all these years, and I've missed it. This is what he's been trying to tell me, and how to be obedient, and how to be loving, and how to be the husband and the wife and the mom and the grandma that I'm supposed to be. You've been trying to tell me, and I've missed it. I've missed it. And it's usually in the communion with Jesus that we find it, because isn't that what breaking the bread and having the cup is communion. They're having communion with Jesus, and he's opening their eyes to the truth. That's why when we take communion, we take that time just to meditate on what we've heard, to meditate on what the scriptures have been saying, just so that we can see where we are with the Lord in the moment, and just to realize what we need out of him and from him, that we need more of him. We don't need more stuff. We need more of him. There's that song, More of You. I'd sing it to you if you want. Thank you. Because I can't sing, so we're not going to do it. And so we know. We're together, Michael. We'll sing together sometime. So it says in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Wasn't it kindled within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And isn't that what Jesus wants to do? He wants to open the scriptures to you. You don't understand them? Commune with him and let him open the scriptures to you. And they rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. He was in their sight 1 second. The next minute he was gone. Wonder if he looked at the watch. Oh, got another appointment. See ya. Star Trek Revisited. Except he's better than Star Trek, because they still had to eat. It didn't matter to him if he ate or not. They had to use a machine to get where they were going. He just said, see ya. And you think scripture's boring. Oh my goodness. Lord, open it up to us where it's more exciting than life itself, because he is our life. He vanished out of their sight. And what did they do? They rose up the same hour. What did they say to Jesus? Don't go any further because it's getting dark out. It's getting supper time. We need to get nourished. We need to get strengthened. You can't go any further because the robbers are out there. It's dark. You fall off a cliff. You know, you can't take another step. And what do? They turn around and go back to Jerusalem. Through all the robbers, through all the dangers that are there. Why? Because they got the news that they needed to have. They got the scriptures open to them the way that they needed it, and they couldn't contain themselves until they got back and talked to everybody else. Isn't that wonderful? They rose up the same hour. They returned to Jerusalem, these 7 miles back, 6 to 7 miles back, found the 11 gathered together. They're still there. They're still going, okay, they're probably taking votes. Okay, how many believe he's really not in the tomb? How many believe he really rose again? Isn't it amazing? They're still together, and you wonder what is going on with them. We know what's going on with them because we're going to read them. We aren't going to read about it. We don't have time. But it's there in the scriptures afterwards. But they rose up the same hour. They returned to Jerusalem, found the 11, the apostles gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And he's appeared the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Isn't Simon the one that as Jesus looked at him the last time, he looked at him coming out of Pilate's house, and he looked at Peter and the cock crew, and he went out and wept bitterly. And now he sees the risen Christ. Oh, he's risen indeed, Peter. Just for you, Peter. We think, how personal is that? And yet that's how personal the Lord wants to be with each and every one of us. And they told of the things that were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. How he was known of them. They knew him in the breaking of bread. They knew him in that communing with the Lord, that time that they were just sitting still before him. What does he say in the Psalms? Be still and know. and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10, be still. Oh, just sit still before him and know him as God and know of him as God. Just don't know about him. A lot of people know about him, but not everybody knows him. A lot of people say they know Jesus, but even in the scriptures, the Lord says when they come before me and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and we did that in your name and we had Sunday school and we went to youth group and we went to Bible study and we went to church on Easter and Christmas. And he's going to say, depart from me because I don't know you. You think you know me, but you don't know me. But I know you. I know your heart. I died for you. He wants each and every one of us to know him in that personal way. And wherever you are today, the Lord wants to come and meet with you and minister to you. Take that time and just get to know the risen Christ. He's your strength. He's your power. He's your peace. He's your hope. He's everything that you need. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord, that you would just meet with us, that you'd just help us, Lord, to settle our hearts before the things that are going on around us that cause us to be distracted. That you know the things that are happening in our lives that have just caused us great despair and great pain, great hurt. You know the things that we're facing tomorrow that are just a consternation to us, Lord, that we just don't understand about those things. And yet, Lord, you want us to be settled today, that we could know you in the midst of today so that we could just have your heart for those things that have come to pass in our lives. So, Father, settle us and speak to us as we sit before you, Lord. And, Father, show us yourself as we partake of the bread and the cup, that we would know you in communion. And we just thank you for it, Lord, that you're willing to meet with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, Father, we come with hearts that are grateful, hearts that are just overwhelmed with your gracious act of love. Father, we know that we can't repay it. You don't expect us to repay it. You just want our heart, Lord. You want our heart given to you so that you can work in it and through it and change us from glory to glory to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. So thank you, Father, for the good work that you want to do. And may we submit, Lord, to those ways that you have for us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We hold in our hands this bread, this cup. We know they're just symbolic of your body being broken, your body being pierced, your blood being poured out, Lord, for the remission of our sin. And we're just so thankful that you took that much time to take our place, to cover our sin, and to show us how awful sin really is. Thankful, Father, for your covering grace, for your loving mercy that just is poured out for us. We love you, we thank you, and we take these now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.